This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You've heard from Bill and Gary. Now it's time to hear from the players inside the locker room. It's Green and Gold Overtime with Joe Zenzola on The Fan.
Well, not exactly Joe Zenzola. Steve Sparky Fiverr with you. Joe Zenzola in San Francisco with Mike Clemens covering Packers getting thumped by the San Francisco 49ers 37-20. And thanks for staying up late with myself, Austin, other side of the glass. And, of course, Bill and Gary doing a great job there with Sam Schmitz producing the statewide show from 9 until midnight. If you want to hop aboard, love to hear from you, 414-799-1250, 414-799-1250. You can also tweet us at 105.7FM, The Fan. Where to begin? Well, this is where I'll begin. I'm not really quite sure what everybody expected coming into this thing necessarily. I think everybody was kind of going on hope and a prayer that things would be different this time. But the reality of the situation is that offensive line for the San Francisco 49ers and that run scheme that pounded the Packers into submission the first game pretty much came out into the exact same thing this game. So that really wasn't any different. The inability to get their ground game going again was an issue. Furthermore, you can't have turnovers in football games like this, in big, big football games. Regular season, maybe you can overcome it. You start getting into playoff games, NFC championship games, Super Bowls. Very, very hard to win a football game when you're turning over the ball the way the Green Bay Packers were. Your quarterback doesn't throw interceptions, ever. Throws multiple interceptions. Your quarterback hardly ever turns over the football. Multiple turnovers. Not just interceptions, but fumbling the football as well. Your freshly minted punt returner, kick returner in Irvin drops a kickoff and has to go get it. Your quarterback continuously throwing behind receivers. That's a problem. Has been a problem all year long. He did not look like he did in the first half of the previous playoff game. You pretty much couldn't have played that game much worse. But this is what I want to know from you. How are you planning on beating the San Francisco 49ers going forward? Because their roster, for the most part, will return intact next season. Plus, they'll have a draft to add to it and whatever they may do in free agency. This is quite a bit different than the Seattle Seahawks when they got on their run. Back when the Seattle Seahawks got on their run, I was told by Gary Ellerson of the Wendy's Big Show and of the 5 o'clock Steakhouse Green and Gold postgame show that, Sparky, don't you worry, this won't last forever because they're eventually going to have to pay Russell Wilson. They're eventually going to have to pay their defensive players. And then they will come back to the pack. And he was right. Problem here is Jimmy Garoppolo already got paid. They just paid D Ford to come over from Kansas City. They're already paying guys. Their left tackle's already being paid. Staley's been around forever. They're already paying guys. So from that perspective, their superstar money's already on the books for their quarterback. That's not something you can look forward to as a Packer fan and go, well, okay, for a year or two. And then once that rookie contract's up for Garoppolo, then they're going to have to pay him, and then that roster is going to self-destruct. They may lose Solomon Thomas. I think it's after next year. But outside of that, they're pretty much intact. So the question is, Can you beat San Francisco simply by being a copycat? Can you beat the San Francisco 49ers by having a lighter offensive line? By having guys that can get out and run that outside zone that San Francisco runs? Is that the way to do it? Can you beat the San Francisco 49ers by having your quarterback throw the ball 10 to 15 times a game and relying totally on the run the way the Niners do in beating you and others throughout the year? We were having a conversation because we watched the game at my house tonight. Some friends, family. And me and my buddy Peanut Gallery were on our way up here having the conversation of, okay, so you can't stop the run for the San Francisco 49ers. Well, how is that going to change next year? How is it going to change? The only thing I can come up with, and feel free to tell me if you think differently, is maybe this defense has to go to a 4-3. Maybe this needs to go to four down defensive linemen and build your four down linemen similar to that of what the New York Giants were when they made their runs. Right? Big, tall, physical defensive linemen that can apply pressure up front from any one of the four positions, but also can stop the run and play physical at the line of scrimmage. Maybe that's the best way to slow down the San Francisco 49ers and the way they want to play. Maybe playing this 3-4 style defense isn't going to get it done. Offensively, are you really going to take the ball out of Aaron Rodgers' hands going forward the way the Niners did with Jimmy Garoppolo? Now, knowing that Matt LaFleur was brought into this situation to essentially be the head coach after Aaron Rodgers to mentor the next quarterback, I feel pretty safe in saying that if you look into the Packers' future, the way that San Francisco plays is probably how Matt LaFleur would like to play going forward once he is on to that next quarterback, whoever that may be. And the young, inexperienced quarterback would be the guess, probably drafted here in the next couple of years, sits for a year or so behind Aaron Rodgers, then gets his chance. Similar to Ben Roethlisberger, the year that he came in as a rookie and took the Steelers all the way to the promised land, they relied heavily on the ground game and heavily on the defense. And you would assume that is how the Green Bay Packers will play. The problem is, you have a Hall of Fame quarterback currently. Hall of Fame quarterback that's not necessarily 25 anymore. But I don't believe the Hall of Fame quarterback is done. I don't think he's done. I don't think he's done by a long shot. I think he's got 3 or 4 years left. So do you really want to take it all the way down to that level to where you're asking him to pass that few of times? Do you think Aaron Rodgers could have played the way Garoppolo played tonight and threw for under 100 yards? Do you think Aaron Rodgers could have done what Jimmy Garoppolo did tonight? I don't. I don't think if the game plan was, Aaron, we're going to ask you to throw the ball 8 times tonight. That's a game plan. Game plan is under 10 times. The rest of the time, we're going to run the football. You're going to throw it 8 times. I'm not quite sure that would have went over all that well. And I guarantee you, coming into this game, the San Francisco 49ers, in their gameplay, made it very apparent that their goal was not for Jimmy Garoppolo to throw it 40 times. Their goal was for Jimmy Garoppolo probably to throw it 20 or less and to get that ground game going. And we talked about it last week. And if you had either one of these quarterbacks getting to 40 attempts or more, that quarterback probably was losing. And Aaron Rodgers got to 39, mainly because they were chasing and he had to throw. Touches? We always talk about touches for Aaron Jones. Get him 20 to 25 touches. He had 12 carries for 56 yards and 5 catches for 27. 2 touchdowns, which is great. But it simply was not enough at the end of the day. Just wasn't. Did we see anything different from the Green Bay Packers? Have asked and asked and asked. Please, can we see split backfield? Please, can we see something different? Please, 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 can we see something? Nope. Didn't get it. And then you look at the wide receiving core from this Green Bay Packers team, and you look at the wide receiving core for the San Francisco 49ers. The talk all week was, George Kittle's going to kill us. George Kittle, how are we going to stop George Kittle? We can't stop George Kittle. If you stop George Kittle, then Emmanuel Sanders will kill us. Oh, no, then it'll be Deebo Samuel that'll kill us. And George Kittle wasn't a factor at all. All George Kittle did was run block, run block, run block, run block. And then when the Packers decided, well, hey, we're going to score a couple times, then they threw a ball to George Kittle for a first down. That's it. All George Kittle caught. One catch, 19 yards. Emmanuel Sanders didn't even have a catch. One target. Folks, we can sit here and we can talk till we're blue in the face about where this Packers team is. 13-3, beautiful. Right? Love it. That's a great year. You had 6 wins. You had a first-year head coach. You were healthy all year. There are far more positives than negatives. Far more. But the big question now is, if you're going to take a next step, if you're going to win another Super Bowl with Aaron Rodgers, this is the team you're going to have to beat. And I heard Bill Michaels say, as their show was ending, that they get to go to San Francisco again next year in the regular season. Are they going to become the Brett Favre Dallas Cowboys to this Green Bay Packers team, where they simply cannot go there and win? Is that what this is becoming for Aaron Rodgers? There has to be a decision made, actually multiple decisions made. Because I'm all about understanding the fact that the NFL is a copycat league, or that the NBA is a copycat league. A little bit more difficult than MLB. Golden State Warriors win by shooting a ton of threes. Now the whole stupid league shoots a ton of threes. That's what it is, right? So now the San Francisco 49ers are in a position to possibly win a Super Bowl against the Kansas City Chiefs. And it is going to be a great Super Bowl. I'm telling you, I think it's going to be highly entertaining and very, very fascinating to watch. If you even want to watch it at this point, may not. But how are you going to go about constructing a roster to beat the Niners? I don't think you can beat the Niners playing copycat the Niners. I just don't. It's going to take you forever to try and get a roster to match up talent-wise with them doing the way they do it for you trying to do it the same way they do it. I just don't know if that's necessarily the answer. So you tell me. How or what do the Packers do now to try and put themselves in a situation to take these guys down next year? What now? Do you change defensive schemes? Because I think that's, to me, that's number one. Like, how are you going to stop their rushing attack? That's the first thing. I don't, wide receivers, whatever. Running backs, tight ends, don't care. All I care about is, how are you going to stop their running game? Because if you cannot stop their running game, you're going to lose again. You had a rookie, 29 carries, 220 yards, 4 touchdowns. He's not going anywhere. He's going to be on this team next year too. How are you going to stop the ground game? My vote is, or suggestion, and I'll find out tomorrow, 2 to 6, Gary Ellerson, Leroy Butler will be here probably to laugh at my suggestions again. Maybe you have to change. Maybe you have to consider going to a 4-3. And if you go to a 4-3, maybe that means then you switch coordinators. I don't know. But I just don't know if you can do it with a 3-4. Again, listening to Bill Michaels talk about, well, Blake Martinez, maybe he's not back. They have nobody next to him. So now you're talking about getting two inside linebackers So either you're going to have to use free agency or roll the dice and gamble with a couple of rookies that don't know what the hell they're doing and having to figure it out as the season goes on. Not really sure I'm a big fan of that idea. Outside linebackers, you're good. You're all set. Can Preston Smith play with his hand in the dirt and be a 4-3 end? Yeah, maybe. Za'Darius Smith, what do you do with him? See, that's the problem. You just spent all this money on two true 3-4 outside linebackers, and if you switch the system now, you kind of screwed up what you just went into the offseason doing. This last offseason doing. But if it's all about stopping this Niners ground game, I just don't know if you can do it with the personnel you have right now. And I don't know if you can do it quick enough. 414-799-1250, 414-799-1250. Tweet us at 105.7 FM. The fan will come back. Take your calls after this. Green and gold overtime. Packers get thumped 37-20 in the NFC title game. I'm Steve Sparky Pfeiffer. You're listening to The Fan.
I don't know. It was just a totally different feel, man. The guy was just gashing us the whole nine. And I'm talking about it wasn't little holes. It was huge holes. He was coming down here. I was with that kid in Cleveland. He's fast. You know, he's track and field fast. So, you know, this kid made some money tonight, I can tell you that.
There you go. Raheem Mostert killing him. 29 carries, 220 yards. 7.6 yard average, 4 touchdowns for him. That is just stupid. That's pretty much what that is. Absolutely beyond stupid to give up that many yards to a running back in an NFC title game. And everybody was concerned about Derrick Henry. Remember? Everybody. Derrick Henry. You want to have him, Derrick Henry? Derrick Henry got tired. That's what happened to Derrick Henry. He got tired. He couldn't do it anymore. That's what happened. He just ran out of gas. Well, if you look at San Francisco, they got 3 of them. And once Coleman went down. Got my other Falcons running back messed up. Once Tevin Coleman went down with that injury, then it was like, okay, so let's see what's going to happen next. And Raheem took over, and that was the end of that for the Green Bay Packers. But like Tremont Williams was saying there, huge holes. Huge. I mean, again, I just think at some point, you've got to figure out how you're going to stop this because that's going to be the thing. 414-799-1250, 414-799-1250. Jimmy Garoppolo was 6 of 8 for 77 yards, folks. That's it. Doesn't matter who's rushing the quarterback when the quarterback's only throwing the ball 8 times in a football game. Kevin in Kenosha, you're up next on Green and Gold OT here on The Fan.
Hey, Sparky, longtime listener, first-time caller. Sucks that I have to call under these circumstances, but I feel like as the season as a whole, very successful. I feel like we're like 1 or 2 pieces away from being a real contender, and those two or three pieces have to be able to stop the run because we're not going to beat anybody letting up 220 yards to one guy. For big chunk plays the way that he did. I feel like this offense is just fine, especially they were way more effective running a hectic 2-minute offense than their game plan ever was. I feel like that was when they did their best. And you could even say that for the whole season. I feel like when they had to hurry up down the field, that was when their offense was able to move the ball the best.
Well, this is my thing, Kevin, is before the season started, when we were going into training camp, the conversation was from Matt LaFleur and from the Packers players was, hey, we're going to get to the line of scrimmage way early, so we're going to have the play called quick in the huddle. We're going to get to the line of scrimmage. We're going to give Aaron Rodgers lots of time to survey the field, make sure he's in the right play, and then we're going to go. And to me, throughout the course of the season, it didn't seem like necessarily they were doing that nearly as much as they wanted to do it throughout the course of the season. Because remember, he had all those communication issues early. Then they gave him the wristband to wear, and he was wearing the wristband for a while, and they were trying to dumb that down so he'd be able to know what play he was calling and try and hasten the process at that point. And I think that when you get into that 2-minute type of drill, then it becomes a little bit more about Aaron Rodgers and rolling with what Aaron Rodgers wants to do, maybe a little bit more than what you're doing when Matt LaFleur is kind of running things in a normal style offense.
Well, that's kind of scary because I feel like then we're just kind of repeating the McCarthy era where it was just like, well, who's actually running the offense then? Because, you know, we don't want a repeat of that. We kind of want to feel like we want them to mesh a little bit.
Well,
more,
Kevin, and that's the thing, though. Thanks for the call. That's the thing, right? Is this offseason, this offense is going to evolve again, right? It's going to evolve again. So it's going to change some more. First of all, it's going to change because now Rodgers and LaFleur have worked together for an entire season, and now they're going to have the opportunity to sit down and have many conversations about what Rodgers liked, what LaFleur liked, what Rodgers didn't like, what LaFleur maybe didn't like on what they were running. Then they're going to be able to adjust the playbook and fine-tune it. And that's not even including whatever personnel is added into this offense by your general manager, whether it be through the draft or through free agency. Because if you get a speedster wide receiver or a couple of speedster wide receivers, maybe you get a speedster in free agency and you draft a speedster, now maybe that offense changes a little bit more to stretch the field more than you have had in the past. If you get a big play type tight end, maybe that helps and you can change again. Depending on what you do with the offensive line and Brian Bulaga, I'm very interested to see what they do at right tackle. I'm very interested. David Bakhtiari, who I'm pretty sure will be on this show on Tuesday, has been lobbying all year to get Brian Bulaga paid. Aaron Rodgers, as you heard earlier on The Fan in his press conference, he's lobbying for Brian Bulaga to get paid. This team all wants Brian Bulaga to get paid. I'm interested to see if they're going to pay him or what the final conclusion is going to be on that. Because that's not going to be a cheap date. He's going to get paid amongst the top right tackles in football. Now, that's not like a quarterback, mind you. It's not that crazy. It's a decent amount of money. And you're paying a guy that tends to get hurt. So do remember that. Mike on the South Side, you're next on Green and Gold OT here on The Fan. What's up, Mike?
Hey, Sparky. I've been waiting 2 weeks to make this call. I remember we talked on a Thursday. I called and you said Packers aren't going to win. And I'm with you. I knew they weren't going to win. I was felt like an outcast. Hope, emotions, reality. Packers are way over their heads. I listened to Bill and Gary show earlier and I called in. I mean, I'm not going to mention any names, but all these callers, starts with the letter R, a couple, didn't call in. Are you there?
I'm here. I'm just listening to you, Mike.
You know I was waiting for this call. I like you, Sparky, and I know you know a lot, and I agreed with you. Now I'm going to get to the last call. They were all like, Miami, cracking beers on air, get the tickets. Here we go. I didn't think they'd get past Seattle. I thought that was like a big deal.
They've been the best team.
Go ahead.
They just have.
I hear you talk.
Thank Mike. Thanks for the call. They've been the best team in the NFC, folks. They have. When they beat the Packers the last time, that was it. It was done. And I was texting with the producer from the show that we do with 95.7 The Game. And I can't wait to – I'm sure we'll have to deal with them this week on the big show. And I just said, hey, man, that's it. I just don't see how they can get to the Super Bowl. I just don't see how it's going to happen. And so now this week comes, he goes, hey, can I bring that up to my guys? I don't care. Go ahead, bring it up. And then they asked me on there, and I said the same thing. It is what it is. You are just not in a position right now to beat that football team. Can you be? Yeah, you can be there eventually. But right now, you are healthy. I mean, in most years, you could come on the air after Packer game on a post-game show and be like, all right, hey, see Sparky Fiver here on The Fan. Packers get thumped in the playoffs by the Niners, but hey, You know, if the Packers had their eight guys healthy, this would have been a game. They might have been able to win it, but hey, injuries are part of the game, and they lost. Now what are you going to do? Next year, if we're healthy, we can beat that Niners team. That's what's said. Can't say it about this team. No, you were healthy. They were relatively healthy for the most part, and you got drummed. Again, the last time you played the Niners, you got drummed, and they weren't healthy. No, they weren't healthy. Sure weren't. And you got hammered. Now they are healthy, and you got hammered again. There has to be a significant conversation of how you're going to slow their ground game down. Because if you don't figure that out, you're going to go to San Francisco in the regular season next year and get hammered. And then you're going to go there in the NFC title game in the playoffs, and you're going to get hammered again. So you better figure this out. I honestly don't think the Packers will be much different next year than they are this year. 12-4, 13-3 next year. Do it all over again. We're going to get right back to the same spot again, probably in San Francisco again, and we're going to do it again. They have that long to figure out how to stop this ground game. All right, joining us now on the Great Midwest Bank Hotline, Mike Clemens, who is unfortunately stuck with a bunch of San Francisco 49er fans and San Francisco media people in San Francisco. Michael Clemens, how are you doing?
I'm okay. I'm just trying to figure out how to, you know, accurately tell the story, because honest to God, you know, when the 49ers go up 27-0, when I've been watching this offense since OTAs, you know, the misdirections, the jet sweep, and, you know, it's the Shanahan offense. Remember, I even said that last spring after a couple of sessions, I'd say to the guy, so what kind of tape are they showing you? Are they showing you Sean McVay Rams tape? Or they no, we're seeing a lot of Atlanta Falcons tape. And it's like, oh, wait a minute. This is when Kyle Shanahan was the offensive coordinator and Matt LaFleur was the quarterback coach. And Tevin Campbell, who got hurt tonight, was one of those guys that was running that offense, that really fast Falcons offense that almost beat the Patriots in the Super Bowl. So I just come away from this from, like, some things I put on Twitter tonight. You know, Aaron Jones does a nice job. He's a fast guy running this offense. But Raheem Mostert is faster and better at it. And Kyle Shanahan, since training camp, since the preseason, when you watch these games, Garoppolo threw like three or four picks in one preseason game. But the running game and Robert Saleh's defense, just the execution is phenomenal. It's some of the best execution since maybe Bill Walsh was out here with the 49ers. And these guys are going to be tough to beat, even for Patrick Mahomes and Andy Reid slinging the ball all over the field in 2 weeks.
Clemens, my guy, being a gallery's here with me in the studio, came up to do the show with me. And he just brought up to me while you were talking, he's willing to put money on it. It's Packers in San Francisco to start the season on Thursday night.
That's a pretty good billing. You know, and during this game, I look back over my shoulder and I'm saying, you know, by the end of the second quarter, Brian Gutekunst he's already on to next year. He's starting, you know, one more time, he's looking at this team and saying, do I bring back Bulaga? Do I bring back Blake Martinez? Jimmy Graham's, that decision's probably already been made. But, you know, what do we need to fix? Do we have assistant coaches? Do we need to bring in another coach or two there to help out? I don't want to put this over Patton's head, because to me, just pound for pound, for, you know, roster for roster, these 49ers are about five or six far better football players than the Packers did, and they're beating you. And, you know, it's this. They went 4-12 last year because they didn't have a quarterback, but they played games close. But since they got the great draft pick, they were able to just top off an already stacked defensive line with Nick Bosa. So tonight when you're in the NFC Championship game, they call it Turbo Left, and they line up Dee Ford and Nick Bosa right on old Bulaga and Billy Turner and just crush the Packers' game.
Clemens.
And Aaron Rodgers.
I was talking about that earlier in the show here, and you have to make a decision of how you're going to attack this San Francisco offense going forward. Because you cannot continue to go out there with no middle linebackers, per se, if Blake Martinez doesn't come back. And Kenny Clark being the only defensive lineman worth a diddly. I mean, you have to figure it out. So either you're going to change scheme and you're going to go 4-3 And you're going to build it like the Giants had theirs back in the day with four big physical linemen who can get to the quarterback without having to bring anybody else and be able to stop the run. Or you're going to play a 3-4 and you're going to have to help redo that line with guys on either side of Kenny Clark and get two linebackers.
Well, you know, that's Chuck Pagano, when he got the job in Chicago, the thing he was most excited about, Khalil Mack and company, is say, are you kidding me? I got four studs on the line and two more to rotate. All I need to do is rush four. If I can drop seven, that's going to drive any quarterback, including Aaron Rodgers, nuts when you've got seven drop back in your secondary. But I guess that's what, you know, Green Bay is going to have to do. They're going to have to go defensive line, maybe more than offensive line, to be able to stop a running game like the 49ers put on tonight. Just, and like other teams are probably going to try and copycat.
Just crazy. All right, Michael, thanks so much. Thanks for all the good hard work that you've put in throughout the Packer season this year, man. You've been great, and I'm sure we'll check in with you again tomorrow on the Chuck and Winkler Show, Bill Michaels, and, of course, the Big Show.
Thank you, Sparky.
Take care, Michael. There he is on the Great Midwest Bank Hotline. Great Midwest Bank has your passion outgrown your home. Great Midwest Bank home renovation loan may give you the space it deserves. Visit greatmidwestbank.com today. Simply local lending since 1935. Robert in St. Francis, you're next on Green and Gold OT here on The Fan. What's up, Robert?
Hey, so I kind of agree with Mike. We need a big D-line. We need that Gilbert Brown type to sit in the middle and take up the center guard so they can stop getting the guards in Martinez's lap. Because our third-level guys have to come up and make them tackles,
yep.
And they're not. And, I mean, that's what I think we need on defense. We haven't had, you know, we kind of had that a little bit with B.J. Raji back in the day, but he wasn't even, you know, that big or as effective. We just need somebody to get those guards off our backers every single play that are opening up those inside zone lanes.
Well, that and the outside zone is killing you too, though. I mean, see, that's the problem. It wasn't just, oh, they're gashing us up the middle. When they wanted to run outside, they were getting the corner every time.
Well, I agree with that, yeah. And then that's kind of, you know, on the Smiths for getting too much penetration inside or, you know, going down the line when they should be coming up the field. But at least if you take away some of that inside zone, you can free them up and free some of the backers to move more outside so they don't have to worry about getting gashed inside as much. Because, I mean, I'd rather take a run outside because then you have time to get your third-level guys to flow over than have them just run full speed ahead at your third-level guys and have them throw their head down and pray to take out legs.
Right. Yep, gotcha. All right, thanks for the call. I really want to get in this conversation about 3-4 versus 4-3 tomorrow, Gary and Leroy. And everyone may laugh at me and tell me I'm an idiot, which is fine. I'm used to it. But because Kenny Clark's not going anywhere, right? I mean, they're going to pay Kenny Clark a lot of money. He's not going anywhere. So if you keep this 3-4, we're talking about a guy on either side, which is essentially like the end in the 3-4. That's not a Gilbert Brown-type player. That's more like a Sean Jones-type player, somewhere along those lines. A long guy, like Lowry, except better. And you just paid Lowry. He's not going anywhere. So, again, they're in a tough spot here as far as how they're going to fix this defense, especially if they don't bring back Blake Martinez. You've got two gaping holes in a defense that's based around linebacker play. Huge holes. All right, take a quick time. I'll come back. I see T.Y. in Philly. Bob in Minneapolis. Still room for you, too. 414-799-1250. 414-799-1250. Tweet us at 105.7FM. The Fan. Niners thump the Packers in the NFC title game 37-20.
Perimeter plays, man. That's something we couldn't stop. I know we should have fixed that on the sideline, but we didn't. Yeah.
Is that a way to neutralize the pass rush? You're just able to run the ball and you drop back eight times. It's hard to affect the game as a pass rush.
Nah, I ain't going to say that, man. We just need to make adjustments. You know, that was probably something we didn't do, but now we know. And as we go on to next year, we'll be able to fix these situations when we're in them.
Yeah. That was Darius Smith talking about could stop the ground game in the perimeter plays for the San Francisco 49ers. Green Gold OT, see Sparky Fiber with you. Packers lose 37-20. I'm not going to say he just lined up the coaching staff on the defensive side of the ball and drove over him with a bus, but that's pretty much what he just did. He pretty much just said, Mike Penn and the guys, man, they didn't do anything to try and stop the outside run. We didn't do anything. We made no adjustments. That's on the coaching staff. Don't look at me. I didn't do anything. That's not good. That's not good. Because you want to know what happens now? Now they're on a plane, right? They're flying back to Milwaukee or Green Bay. Then they're going to have their exit interviews. And in your exit interviews, it's going to be, how do you think the season went? What do you think we could have done better? And they're going to ask, hey, man, what happened? 220 yards? What happened? And if that dude says what he said there of, hey, man, coach didn't make any adjustments. Uh-oh. Mm-mm. Good. If I'm Mike Patton, I don't want to see that quote. That is not something I want to see if I'm Mike Patton. And again, if they do decide to change schemes, and I'm not saying they're going to, but if they do decide to do something like that, would Mike Patton be the fall guy in this whole thing? T.Y. in Philly, you're up next here on Green and Gold Old T on The Fan. What's up, T.Y.?
Hey, what's going on, Spark?
How are you?
Hey, man, listen, another thing we got to worry about Mr. 55 is, you know, when we start the season, which we definitely have a tough schedule in the NFC next year with games against the Eagles, our own division, the Falcons, the Saints.
They could open up in San Francisco. Who knows? On Thursday night, open the season. Yeah. That would make sense.
Exactly. But 55 will be facing that 1-4 game suspension for that weed charge.
Right.
From earlier this season.
I'm guessing it'll be – my guess would be one game. You're talking about when they got pulled over in the car and he took ownership for it?
Right.
Yeah, I'm guessing it'll probably be one game would be my guess, but whatever it is.
Pettin, Pettin is safe. I think, you know, this is the year, though, for him. I think those linebackers, somebody to go next to Kenny Clark, and – even though I love Tremont Williams and he's played good these last two seasons, I think we could upgrade at the slot corner. And yep. It's not upgrade at the slot corner because they played a lot of zone this year. So I don't know why. I don't know if they don't like Jair and Kevin King. And, man, they played a lot of zone to me. Not tonight so much, but just throughout the season. So we need to know, is Jair going to be the outside corner or is he going to be the inside corner?
That's well, you'll find that out because if they draft a cornerback – at the end of round one, you would assume Jair's moving inside.
He's going in the slot.
Right.
In my opinion, he's better there anyway. But
correct.
I don't think it's time to throw Patton away, though. So that's what I say.
Yeah, I don't know. We're going to find out how this whole thing plays out. Thanks for the call, T.Y. Have a good night. Man, it's like 1 in the morning out there. 1:45 in the morning in Philadelphia, man. It's East Coast time. Hey, did you see what's going on in Chicago? Did you hear about this? They approved getting rid of daylight savings times. So now they're going to be kind of like Indianapolis is, so where they're going to be on East Coast Standard Time for football games, essentially, and for part of the football season. So like right now, it would be 1:42 in the morning in Chicago, technically, right now, once this takes effect. And it won't take effect until we spring forward again. And then after that, then they're not changing anymore. Why can't Wisconsin do that? Be all for it. More sun, longer. Bob in Minneapolis, you're next on Green and Gold OT. What's up, Bob?
Hey, thank you for taking my call. I think there's a lot to be encouraged about, but I wouldn't assume that next year that when they're in the NFC Conference game, the 49ers will beat them. And
I'm not assuming it. I'm saying you have a year to figure out how to stop that ground game. That's what I'm saying.
Right. Okay, I got you. And that I agree with. And I don't think necessarily – you'd have to go – I'm going to go aside a little bit. You don't have to go to a 4-3 to do that. What you need is an intense, good middle linebacker. If you look at any great defense with an awesome 3-4, they have one or two awesome middle linebackers.
Right.
It's unfortunate that in all these years, even back in Holmgren's day, we never have a middle linebacker that everybody's afraid to run at. If you look at Urlacher or any of the great ones, or two of them with Green and Lloyd from way back in the Pittsburgh Steelers, or even against Seattle, I forgot his name, the guy in the middle. You don't want to run at him.
Bobby Wagner?
Yes, as an example. Who really wants to run at him? We don't have a guy like that. And I do believe prediction is that in the next 5 years of LaFleur and the coach Shanahan from Fortinaz will be battling back and forth. Who wins, I don't know, but I'm hoping the Packers will. There's a lot to be encouraged about. And the three men that encouraged me to look forward to next year and to believe they actually have a chance at winning a Super Bowl is Gutekunst, LaFleur, and Rodgers. I know some people want to limit what Rodgers does. No, they have to change, and I like your reference before with Roethlisberger.
Yep.
They're in a transition like Roethlisberger, and I've been calling your station for a while now.
You have?
It's like Elway. Before when we had McCarthy, I would refer to McCarthy like Reeves. Now we have LaFleur, who to me is a lot like Shanahan.
Of course,
in those first 2 years, or the first 2 years with Elway, they were struggling. And then when they got it, it was hard to stop.
Yeah, and Terrell Davis was a seventh-round pick out of Georgia that everybody was sleeping on. The dude broke out in training camp, and away they went. They rode him all the way to 2 Super Bowls. Bob, thanks for the call. Appreciate it, man. Keep listening on the radio.com app, as always. And don't forget, Chuck and Winkler tomorrow morning. Actually, I guess later this morning, technically. 6 a.m. to 10 a.m. And before that, Chuck Winkler pregame show with Ryan Horvath. He's on from 5 to 6 a.m. taking everybody's calls. And, of course, statewide, Bill Michaels back on the air from 10 until 2. And then it's the Wendy's Big Show, Packer Hall of Famer Leroy Butler and Pro Football Hall of Fame finalist. A couple of weeks away from finding out if he'll be in the Pro Football Hall of Fame or not. Gary Ellerson will be here, Baby Tosh and myself. And I have a feeling there'll be a lot of frustrated people, for sure. Just everybody's got to remember, they had 6 wins last year. They hired a coach that most people didn't know much of anything about in Matt LaFleur. And to get to where they got this year, pretty remarkable. Pretty remarkable. Andy in West Allis, you're next on Green and Gold OT here on The Fan. What's up?
Hey, Spark, thanks for the hookup.
You bet.
Defensively, I believe that the Packers really need to acquire like an impact inside linebacker, like a Desmond Bishop that's like a run stuffer that can complement the back end of this defense. Because until they get that type of impact player that can really prevent someone like Mostert that can gain these yards, they're going to be susceptible to these running backs that can really split or run into the second level of defense, you know, and that's hurting them for quite some time now. You know, the back end of the defense looks to be solid, but they need, you know, the 3-4 looks like a good scheme, but they're missing like a Howard Green or a B.J. Raji to complement like a Kenny Clark in that defensive front line. And until they get that player, they're going to be susceptible to players like this, like Mostert did against the Packers tonight.
Tell me this. So right now, this game is done. We haven't slept yet to really have a night to really kind of reset. But what is their biggest need right now?
I would say an impact inside linebacker right now, because like Blake Martinez is someone that is a leading tackler on this team, but he cannot cover the tight end.
No, he cannot.
And until we get somebody in there that can shake the tight end coming out of the formation like a Brian Williams did against Brent Jones in the 95 San Francisco game, championship game, a more aggressive type of player.
Simmons beat the crap out of him in that game, too. Andy, thanks for the call, man. I appreciate it. So he says middle linebacker because it's not going to be Blake Martinez, and they don't have anybody next to Blake Martinez that can cover a tight end. And that's true. So it seems like most people going into this game, I think, said wide receiver. Others said tight end. But everybody was pretty much on the offensive side of the ball. I just wonder, going forward here, as we have these conversations getting closer to the draft and free agency, how many people are going to change their opinion of what they really need on this team to be on the defensive side of the ball again? And I wonder if the Green Bay Packers will go draft defense again this year in the first round yet again, or if they will finally start drafting offense early on in the draft. Because while everybody was thinking offense was the issue and not the defense, this is the second time you got drilled by the same football team, and they're not going anywhere based on contract situations and so forth. Brett, New York, you're next on Green and Gold OT here on The Fan. What's up, Brett?
Hey, how you doing?
Good.
Sparky, I love you. I'm actually a Milwaukee transplant. Live in New York now, but...
What'd you move to New York for? For job or what?
Parents and then job, yeah. So.
Okay, so when were you in Milwaukee? Did you grow up here?
Yeah, yep, grew up there.
Nice.
But you remind me of... your mentality is a lot of the people out here, so I love it. But
sweet.
My big thing is kind of off track, but the onsides kick, first of all, I think that was ridiculous with the new rules for LaFleur to go for that. And then on top of that, LaFleur is doing a lot of these behind the line of scrimmage passes and outside edge rushes against San Francisco. They're fast. They're fast. It's not going to work. And none of them worked. And all the other stuff you're talking about tonight, yeah, I could talk about it forever, but I just wanted to get your opinion on those two things.
We talked about this on the big show. I think it was on Friday. Somebody called up and asked Gary and Leroy, or maybe it was just Gary, what they thought of trick plays, right? And whether or not they thought, you know, the Packers should use them in this game and so forth. And Gary got into, you know, what he thought was acceptable as far as, okay, you want to run a reverse or something, fine. But all this double reverse, pitch back to the quarterback stuff, Gary wasn't feeling that. And my take on it was, when you start doing crap like that, that's signs of desperation. That's what that is of, we need a jolt of energy, we need a boost, something to turn the favor for us. And they run that double reverse, they pitch back to Rodgers. Instead of hitting a home run ball, they get an 8-yard pass out of it, not even a first down. And that's what it was. It was desperation. They were down. They were looking for some juice. You do onside kicks like McCarthy used to do early in games. Same type of stuff. You're looking for some juice, some momentum for your team to kind of swing it in your favor. That's why teams do that stuff. And it's no different with the Green Bay Packers.
Yeah, I was just thinking the new rules with onside kicks, though, the percentages are super low. I mean, like back in the day, you know, sure, you do an onside kick, but nowadays, I think it's like, what, 3-5%?
Yeah.
That you're actually going to convert it?
Yep. So, no, you're right. Yeah, I get it. And I just wonder, you know, Brett, and that's something you would think all of these NFL teams are locked into, you know, percentages on everything. Percentage on a two-point play, percentage on onside kick in this situation, percentage of, you know, this yard field goal range in this situation. All of those are numbers. But sometimes these coaches are going to go on gut. It just is going to happen. Greg Council for the Brewers, he knows all these numbers. And sometimes he just flat out says, I know it probably wasn't what the numbers said, but I went with my gut to see what would happen. And sometimes it works, and sometimes it doesn't. Brett, thanks for listening in New York on the radio.com app. You betcha. Have a good night. All right, I'll take a quick timeout. We'll come back. We'll continue on. Green and Gold OT, Steve Sparky Pfeiffer, Austin, other side of the glass, hanging out with you here after the Packers get thumped by the Niners in the NFC title game.
No, it's just tough. It's one of those things, like, I mean, I can't hide it. Contract's over after this, so it was a special place for me. This is a special place to me. It gave me my opportunity. I love Green Bay and the fans. Everything about it, the players, the team. This year was something special to me, the guys we had. I've never had a group of guys like this that just wanted to win, wanted to be better every day. It was awesome to lead this group. Whatever ends up happening in free agency, I'll never forget this year.
What would you like to say to fans who have been so supportive of you through your career in this year?
Just thank you. It was a great ride. It's a great 4 years. Ups and downs all across the board. They were always there for us. And it was awesome to be able to experience that. And there's honestly nothing like the Packer faithful.
Oh, my God. All right, there's Blake Martinez. Just, I'm going to be the bad guy. I'm just going to shut up. All right, we only got like 30 seconds left. There's Blake Martinez crying after the game because he doesn't know if he's going to be a Packer again. What? No, there's got to be more to the story than what we know here. I will tell you for certain, many a times these guys have an idea of whether or not they're going to be brought back or not when everything is said and done. Before you even get to the offseason, they have a good idea of whether or not a team wants him back or not. So maybe he knows they don't want him back. Who knows? Green Bay Packers, they lose in the NFC title game to the San Francisco 49ers, 37-20. Enjoy the rest of your night.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.